So we've looked so far at the revelation gifts. We've looked at the gift of wisdom, the word of wisdom, the gift of the word of knowledge, and the gift of discernment of spirits. We're just going to start looking at the vocal gifts tonight and looking at the gift of prophecy. Prophecy, the gift of prophecy, is the one that is mentioned most frequently throughout Scripture. Mentioned more than any other spiritual gift in the whole of the New Testament. We might consider why that is later on. But it's given a prominent position. Paul said, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you might prophesy. So again, there is an emphasis on the gift of prophecy. Therefore, we need to make sure we understand what it's all about and how it is outworked in the church today. How it's outworked amongst us. How we might expect to see that gift of prophecy outworked in an evening meeting. How we might expect to see it worked out in a morning meeting, come to that. How we might expect to see it worked out in our daily living as believers. Mentioned more than any other spiritual gift, prophecy, we need to understand it. So let us define the New Testament gift of prophecy. Because in the Old Testament, there were prophets who held the office of prophet. They were people like Isaiah, they were people like Jeremiah, Amos, other Old Testament prophets. And they were prophets to the nation, who had a word for the nation, who had particularly a word for the nation of Israel. And they would say, the Lord says, do this. The Lord says he's not pleased with you because you've turned away from him, and he asks you to repent and give your life to him. And a lot of woes and a lot of directional kind of stuff from the office of a prophet in the Old Testament. Let us not confuse then this gift with that gift in the Old Testament. Let us not also confuse it with what is mentioned in Romans 12 in some Bibles, as God gave to the church evangelists, pastors, and prophets. Now, in that context, the prophet is a teacher. We see in the English Standard Version, I believe, that it is translated in that way. So, in that context, in Romans 12, the prophet is a teacher, somebody who delivers the word of God. So you might, a lot of people define a prophet as somebody who preaches, somebody who teaches, somebody like the minister or the pastor who stands up and delivers the word. So let us not confuse also this 1 Corinthians 12 gift of prophecy with that gift of teaching mentioned in Romans 12. So not the Old Testament office of prophet, not the Romans 12 teaching prophet, in inverted commas, but a prophet who is somebody who hears from God and shares it. I don't know where we got a graphic here, Joshua. Oh, here we are. There's a man. Okay, revelation from God. So that's speaking, that's God speaking to us, and the prophecy is the report of the revelation. So for the benefit of those who are listening on the internet or listening on a CD or listening to an audio of this, what I have is a graphic that I've copied out of Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology book, and it essentially shows a man's outline of a man's face, a man's head, and there's an arrow pointing from downwards towards that man's head from up, and it says revelation above that arrow, and then out of the man's mouth is the word, an arrow speaking out, is an arrow pointing out, and the words prophecy, which is a report of that revelation. So a prophecy is hearing God speak and you speaking it out your mouth. And Wayne Grudem again says this, so what I've already said. New Testament prophecy should not be defined as predicting the future, nor proclaiming a word from the Lord, nor as powerful preaching, but rather telling something that God has spontaneously brought to mind. So you might be sat here, you might be in an evening meeting, and God suddenly speaks something into your mind. And you share it. Might bring an image into your mind and you share that image. You might bring some words into your mind and you share those words. And as you begin to share those words, God gives you more words to share. Frank DiMaggio says this: when man would prophesy, whether in the Old or New Testament, the Spirit of God would inspire their speech and cause his own words to bubble forth. The same is true in the church today. Men and women can utter words from the Lord as he inspires them to speak, for the edification, exhortation, and comfort of the entire body. Okay, so Frank DiMaggio is saying that there's a bubbling forth of the words. Inspired speech, that those words that God gives us, that revelation from God that we speak out. Now, 1 Corinthians 14:3 tells us what the purpose of prophecy is. What the purpose of this New Testament gift of prophecy is. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Which you'll define those in a moment. But let me just say here, and we'll emphasize it again in a minute, this is why I believe that prophecy is mentioned more than any other gift in the New Testament. Because God wants to edify us. He wants to exhort us. He wants to comfort us. He wants to build us up. So let's just look more carefully at what these edification, exhortation, and comfort is all about. So edification, when we take the Greek word apart, it means to build up, to spiritually build up. So we can take that little bit further and say, well, to be spiritually built up is to grow closer to God, to be stronger in God, to be firmer in God, to be more confident in God, to be mature in God, to be built up in God, to have that strong foundation of the Word of God that is speaking into our lives, that is building us up and strengthening us. Edification. So the prophetic word, that word that God would speak to a man or a woman in a church setting, would be to build us up in God, to draw us closer to him. So that's a good thing, isn't it? All right. So for exhortation, for comfort. Now, the Greek word is actually, we use two English words, perhaps, that describe this. It's a consolation, a solace, ministered with tenderness. That is the Greek definition. So consolation is to alleviate grief or disappointment. I can see this. Joshua's here because he's sat at the front. If it had been somebody else, it would have been somebody else. But, you know, it's a comfort. You know, often we find disappointments and discouragements in life, don't we? Amen? Well, if you don't, well, you must be someone different to everybody else. We have disappointments, we have discouragements, we find it difficult sometimes, and it's almost as if the Lord comes with a word of consolation. Doesn't matter, never mind, I'm here. It's a word of consolation, so that's part of comfort, but it's also solace. It is comfort in distress or disappointment. Comfort in distress. So when we're distressed, the Lord comes with a word of comfort. When we're disappointed, he comes with a word of comfort. And he brings a word that brings us relief, brings us reassurance, and cheers us up. Because that's what solace means as well. So consolation is to alleviate grief or disappointment, which is all in this word comfort. Solace is comfort in distress or disappointment, to find relief and cheer up. Wow! You can see why God wants to use the gift of prophecy, because he not only wants to build us up, but he wants to bring comfort when we're in distress, and to cheer us up and bring that reassurance that we have. I've just realized that I've missed our exhortation. So there's the edification. I've defined the comfort, but what about exhortation? What is exhortation? Come on! Don't you know? All things are possible with God. I want to remind you that man might have said it's impossible, but God says it is possible. And it's a stirring up, it's an encouragement in the Word of God. That, you know, come on, people, come on, Church of God, come on, brothers, come on, sisters, you know, come on, children, is God saying. I've got this, I really want to do something amongst you. Don't just sit there, do something. Amen. And he's stirring us, he's encouraging us, and he's exhorting us, encouraging us in the right direction. So, he who prophesies brings edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Wow. So you can see that this gift is something that we need in the church. No wonder Paul wanted to encourage it. Paul wanted to say, come on now, if you know, really eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, because all the spiritual gifts are important for building the church up, but especially that you might prophesy because prophecy will not only build the church up, but it's God will comfort through it. God will exhort you through it. He will bring comfort in distress, and he'll stir you. And oh, so that is New Testament prophecy, hearing from God, speaking it out, and its purpose to edify, exhort, and comfort. Wayne Grudem. Oh, 1 Corinthians 14:29. Let's look at this. Two or three prophets should speak, and then others should weigh what is carefully said. All right, so we have the revelation from God. We speak it out. But then Paul says, well, actually, you've got to weigh it. You've got to judge it. You've got to see whether it's right or wrong. Maybe this is where the gift of the discernment of spirits also comes in. You've got to weigh it. You've got to actually see whether it's from God or not. Now, why do we have to do that? Because obviously you might say, well, if it's a word from God and someone speaks it out, well, then we could just got to accept it carte blanche. Wayne Grudem again says this. He says, a very human, New Testament prophecy is often a very human and sometimes partially mistaken report of something the Holy Spirit has brought to someone's mind. Bruce Yockham says this. Prophecy can be impure. Our thoughts and ideas can get mixed into the message we receive, whether we receive the words directly or receive a sense of a message. So in other words, what he's saying is that the line from heaven into our brain can sometimes get just a little bit foggy. You remember how Paul says that we see dimly. You know, we don't have a pure, an accurate hotline to get to God. So sometimes God might give us a word, and we might add a few words to it to make it sense. The only illustration that I can think of that might help you with this is that, you know, these people that go looking for dinosaur bones, and then suddenly they're in Brazil and they find this neck bone of some dinosaur, and they say, aha, this dinosaur looked like this. And what they've done is they build up a model of what they believe the dinosaur looked like based upon a few bones. And I thought, dearie me, good gracious me, how do they get that from just those few bones? And sometimes we can just get a fragment of information. We hear something from God, just a little bit like a radio signal that you're finding it difficult to receive. You get a few words and you fill in the gaps, just like the, is it the paleontologist? Is that the person that does the bones?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like the paleontologist will take the bones and he will make up a skeleton out of plaster. So often we will take a few words and we will make what we say is what we believe to be the Word of God. So there's a little bit of man that is often mixed in with what we hear from God. Or sometimes we might only see something partially, and we sort of, well, we've got to make sense of this, so I'm just going to fill in the gaps. Or we might have a clear word from God, and instead of sharing that word from God or the few words that God gives us, we might share a dozen words, and half of those words weren't given from God. So that's why Paul says we need to weigh. So because we just need to filter out what is of God, which is going to be exhortation, comfort, and edification, and what is of man. Let me just quickly look ahead to my notes because I'm just drifted from them a little bit. Yeah, okay. So one of the ways that we will judge prophecy is to ask ourselves the question, does it edify? Does it comfort? And does it exhort? Is there any negativity? Is it judgment? Is it judgmental? Does it build up or tear down? You see, one of the things that we've been talking about, edification, is what? Building up. If suddenly you share something that you say is from God and actually tears somebody down and says, well, you good for nothing, so and so, and kicks somebody whilst they're down. Well, or it embarrasses somebody. Well, hang on a minute, I don't think God the Holy, how many know that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman? He won't embarrass people. So if it's going to embarrass somebody or kick somebody whilst they're down, it is, you know, ask yourself that question. Will it draw someone closer to Jesus? You see, edification is all about drawing people to Jesus. So will this word encourage people to draw closer, or will it push them further away? You see, an example of a word that might push somebody away is that, David Taylor, you miserable so-and-so, you know, you better pull yourself together. Otherwise, you ought not to show your face in this place again. Now, that would be very negative, and it wouldn't be very uplifting. It wouldn't be very uplifting to David. And one of the things that if he received that in an evening meeting or in a morning meeting, come to that or at any other point in time, and he says, if that's what God thinks, I won't come again. So we need to make sure, before we share it, does it build up? Will it draw people closer to God? Will it glorify Jesus? You see, this is, it's all about Jesus, you see, isn't it? It's all about Jesus. It's all about honouring him. And, you know, I've had many people along the way tell me that God's going to give me £1 million and what everything, and or God's going to give them £1 million and they're going to buy me a Range Rover and a caravan to tow it, or a caravan and a Range Rover to tow it. You know, oh, well, what's this got to do with God? Will it glorify Jesus? Who is at the centre of the prophecy? Here's another one. What is your motive for sharing the prophecy? What's your motive for sharing the prophecy? You see, thankfully we don't have it in this church, or I hope we don't have it in this church, but I've been in churches, you may be in churches in your past, where there are people who have always wanted to get hold of the microphone, or they like the sound of their own voice. And every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening, they've had to give their word of prophecy because it's their time, it's their moment in the service when everybody can look at them and listen to them. What's your motive? Is it so everybody can say, well, cool, dearie me, that Joshua Sharp, oh, an immature. You know, oh, isn't he in touch with God? You know, he brings a prophecy every week. You know, oh, wouldn't I like to be just like him? And you might be doing it from the wrong motive. Ask yourself, what is your motive? If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but not have love, I am nothing. So when you share your message that you believe that you have from God, is it done in love? Is your motive love? Is your motive to glorify Jesus? Is your motive to lift that person up or lift the church? Edification, encouragement, and exhortation. Practical guidelines then, all right? Practical guidelines. I put number one down as ask permission. Here's a scripture. but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. Now, fortunately, in a congregation our size, we don't necessarily need to go through this permission structure. But I know that some churches, they like you to come and have a word with the pastor beforehand before you share the scripture. And I can understand sometimes the reasons why pastors do that, because they like to bring a little bit of control and to make sure that the person that always likes to give a prophecy at 10 past 11 every Sunday morning doesn't always do that. So I've experienced that when I was at the Church of Huddersfield. They had to bring that control in there. But here we have that liberty. You know, often I give you the liberty, don't I? I give you permission to speak, and no doubt that now you have permission. But I'm just saying that if you were to go to another church, just be aware that if God spoke to you, you know, just be aware of what their guidelines. Just don't spout it out, all right? But here, I have the confidence to allow you to spout it out. You have permission to do that. I've got also, as number two, be normal and natural. Have you ever been to those certain situations in churches where someone stood up and they said, "Thus says the Lord, thou shalt worship me with all thine heart and with all thine soul." With all thine mind. "And thou shalt always read out of the King James Version Bible and speak as if you are living 200 or 300 years ago." Well, just be natural. We don't need to, you know. I think sometimes people felt that they had to put on the King James Version voice and the tense because they believe that God spoke King James English. But, you know, hang on, the God that I know speaks ordinary Yorkshire. Hey? With a southern accent, yes. Ordinary Yorkshire. So be normal. I've put here, avoid saying, "Thus says the Lord." Now, why do I say that? Because I think it's also always good to sort of speak a prophetic word in the third person, rather than saying, "I, the Lord, say this." It's probably better to say, "I believe that God is saying this." Because first of all, it makes it very difficult for anybody to challenge the words, "I, the Lord, say this." And secondly, you know, if you're saying, "I believe the Lord says this," you are therefore putting yourself under the authority of those that would weigh it. When you say, "I believe God's," when you say, "Thus says the Lord, God says this," it's very difficult to challenge. And you put yourself in a sort of a very a proud position if you believe that everything you're saying is spot on. Avoid giving dates and correction. God doesn't want you to play prophetic matchmaker. I'm going to say who's single here, but you know, but I know a church not a million miles away from here. Some of you will know the church that I'm speaking about, but if you're a single, you will soon get a tap on the shoulder and have a prophetic word from God saying that you should marry so and so and you should marry so and so. And unfortunately, I've seen many marriages or people get married, and unfortunately those marriages not succeed. I don't believe that God is in the, you know, God is wanting to use this prophetic gift for us to match people up. Say, "Marry, Joshua, you got to marry I won't say anything. I was going to mention somebody else in the church. New Testament prophecy, for the most part, is confirmation and not direction. So, somebody who comes to the morning meeting and somebody that goes to the Tuesday meeting as well, was saying the other night when we were talking about this, saying, you know, somebody rang me up the other day and they said that they had a word from God for me. And the word of God was that I should do this, that and the other. And quite sensibly, that person replied by saying, funny that God should tell you that. Why hasn't God told me that? And the prophetic word will not, I don't believe, is directional for our lives, but will confirm. So let me give you an example that when I worked for Sainsbury's, I used to work for Sainsbury's a long time ago, just telling everybody that doesn't know that. When I worked for that well-known supermarket, Sainsbury's, a long, long time ago, 20-odd years ago now, and I believe that the Lord was calling me into the ministry, and I was resisting. Mm-hmm. And I was seeking God, and I knew that God was calling me out, and because of Sunday trading, it meant that I couldn't even get to church on a Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, I was working all the hours under the sun. I couldn't get to the evening midweek meetings because I was always at work. And I say to God, I said, well, at least I can't get to the midweek meetings, but at least we've got Sunday where we can worship God. And then Sainsbury said, well, I want you to work Sunday now. So they were taking that away from me. And I really felt challenged. It was almost as if God was giving me a kick up the backside because I felt the call of God on my life for quite some time. Ian, I want you to go into the ministry. You know, Sainsbury's, you know, you've had your time there. Time to move on. And this was already burning in our hearts, and Gal and I had already had a discussion with the pastor at the church, and it was all something that was just sort of beginning to sort of thinking about what we were to do in our life. And we weren't sure. You know, like it is when God speaks to you, you always hesitate, don't you? Well, at that point, the prophetic word comes in. And the prophetic word then gives you that encouragement. So we met somebody and we were talking to them, and they said, you know, you've got some decisions to make in your life. And yes, we knew that we had some decisions to make in our lives. And we knew that God was stirring us. And we knew that Sunday trading was the issue. And we knew that what God was saying to us through that, what this woman said to us, spoke to me, we knew that that was a confirming word rather than a directional word. We'd already had the direction. God was just cementing it and saying, yes, Ian, yes, you know it's true, you know it's right, come on now. That bit of exhortation, a bit of encouragement, that final kick up the backside that I needed. Correction. So avoid correction. Prophecy is not a tool for ticking somebody off. You see, the person that you and I know, or knew perhaps, maybe you've not been in one of these churches, that spoke at 11:10 every Sunday morning, it was their opportunity to say, thus says the Lord, he sees you going into the gambling bookmakers at 11:10 every morning, and God says, whoa, he doesn't like it. And what had happened, you see, is that they'd been in town and they'd seen him go into the bookies, and they thought this was their opportunity to sort of say, and likewise, you'd hear these, woe is you, God sees you that you've had the argument with your children and to do this, that and the other and what have you. Prophecy is not about you sort of seeing situations within the church and thinking to yourself, well, if only Joshua would pull his socks up and not go out train spotting so much. And bus spotting. Thus says the Lord. You're spending too much time bus spotting. You know, hang on a minute. This is not what it's about. A, that's not a word from the Lord. And B, you know, it's not about correcting people, because God will use other means to do that. Terry Virgo said this: prophecy is not for rebuking the church, nor is it for offloading frustrations and current gripes. Be prepared to make a mistake. A mistake proves someone stopped talking long enough to do something. So again, you know, what I'm talking about is that, okay, we're going to, so we've heard from the Lord, okay? We've said Is it exhortation, or it doesn't have to be exhortation, edification, and comfort. It can be one of each of those. It doesn't have to be all three together. We've done the test in our own mind. Is it Jesus centered? Am I doing it out of the right motive? I'm not correcting anybody. I'm not airing a personal gripe, and I'm not doing it for my own show because I want everybody to see it. You know, okay, right, I'm going to go for it now. And sometimes people don't go for it because, well, what if I make a mistake? You see, the Old Testament prophets, what happened to them? What happened to the Old Testament prophets that got a prophecy wrong? What happened to them? Yeah, they were stoned, weren't they? So, if I stand up and I get it wrong, ooh, there's a few big boulders out in the car park. But I want you to notice that there's a difference between Old Testament prophets and Old Testament prophecy or false prophets and weak prophets. So it was the false prophets in the Old Testament that were stoned. And a false prophet is someone from a wrong spirit who sets out to deceive someone intentionally. All right? So if you were here and you deceived somebody intentionally, and you were doing it from the wrong motive, and you were from the wrong spirit, you know, we wouldn't be happy. But this is not what we're talking about now. We're hearing from God. We're going to go and share it. We're going to be prepared to make a mistake, because we're not a false prophet. We're a weak prophet. And a weak prophet is someone who desires to be used by God, but makes mistakes along the way. So 1 Corinthians 13:9 says, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part." So we need to be prepared to make mistakes. So I might share with you. I think God is saying that he really wants to encourage us to move into a new ministry. And the new ministry, I believe, that God wants us to do is that he wants us to work amongst the refugees. And that might be somebody in the congregation. And I weigh that and I think, well, actually, yeah, okay, that might be right, but there's no refugees in Audley. We're not Huddersfield, where there's asylum seekers and what have you. Is this what God is? Is this where God is leading? You know, brother, I don't think you've got that quite right. I don't think you've got that quite right. Or there might be something where you've added to God's word that it's sort of just veered off. And if I said to Joshua, you've got that wrong, brother, I think you haven't got to take offence. You've just got to say, okay, well, thank you very much for pointing that out. I've just not heard that right. But because you've tried, you're going to try again, and you're going to learn from your mistakes, and you're going to hear, it will hone your listening skills to that word from God. Be prepared for mistakes. Give grace to the pastor who will not always agree with you or give you the space you want. You see, sometimes, you know, I've been at churches where someone's, I've got a prophetic word, I've got a prophetic word. Yeah. We sang another song, I've got a prophetic word, you know, I'm really hungry, you know, I've got to share this. And it's come to the end of the service, I've got a prophetic word. And I said, well, oh, time's gone, just save it for tonight or whatever. And that person goes away with a huff, I had a prophetic word. You're not listening to God. You missed it here. God had something for us tonight and you didn't give me space to share it. And give me grace, can you? Or the others grace that might be leading the service, because we're not all perfect. So as everybody extends grace to somebody else who might get it wrong, give grace to those that weigh it or don't give you space to give it wrong. Mike Bickle, who wrote a book on growing in the prophetic, I believe it's called. Some people in whom God is developing a prophetic gifting lack clarity in understanding what they receive. So it's, what he's saying is that some people have this gift, but they don't know what to do with it, or how to share it, or they've got part of the gift, they don't know how to to use it more. And what Mike Bickle says is, come alongside people who have been used in the prophetic gift in the past, who will help you hone that gift, help you listen to God, help you handle that gift from God. All right, two or three prophets should weigh what others have said. Okay. I'm nearly finished. Deary me. What do I do if someone says they have a word for me? First of all, sometimes people, you know, you met these people, I've got a word for you, Joshua. Well, if you don't want to listen to it, say thank you very much, but I don't want to receive that right now. So, and if someone says that to you, don't push them. Just let them be. Okay? When somebody shares a word with you, ask yourself, does this encourage me or discourage me? Does it draw me closer or push me further away from God? Does it line up with Scripture? Does it witness to you? Does it confirm what God is already saying to you and what you already know to be true? Sometimes people, I've been in those experiences, I'm nearly done, sorry. I've been in those situations where people have been in a line. And there's been and someone's come along and said, I've got a prophetic word for you, and I've got a prophetic word for you, and I've got a prophetic word for you, and I've got a prophetic word with you. And I, as the pastor, have been stood there listening to what that person has said to that person. And then after the meeting, David's come to me and they've said, you know, that person spoke a prophecy over me. I can't remember it. What did they say? And I say to them, if you can't remember it, forget it.
Yeah.
Even more. Because if God is really speaking to you, you'll really remember what he said. Because it will be already confirming what God is already saying to your heart. It will witness to your spirit. It will build you up. It will encourage you. It will be meaningful to you. So when that woman told me, you've got some decisions to make about Sunday trading, it already confirmed what God was speaking in my heart. God was already speaking to me about it. It was that encouragement. It was that kick up the backside that I need, that exhortation that I needed. It was something that was eventually going to draw me closer to God and build me up in Christ. Okay. I think we ought to leave it there. I just got prophecies which tell other people what they are to do are to be regarded with great suspicion. So if someone says to you, you're going to meet someone tomorrow morning with dark hair, wearing glasses, God says you've got to marry him, treat it with suspicion. Okay, one last scripture then. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, the gift of prophecy. Because he wants to use you to give you words that will edify. He wants to use you to give you words that will exhort. He wants to use you to give you words that will comfort the body of Christ, corporately and as individuals. That's why Paul says, eagerly desire it. We'll talk more about it as individuals, home groups in the week, if you can make it. If you want to listen to it again, it will be online very shortly. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you want to speak to us. You want to speak to us to edify us, to exhort us, and to comfort us. Father, I thank you that you have given within the New Testament church, within our church, the gift of prophecy. Help us to hear your voice so that we can be built up, so that we can be encouraged, so that we can draw closer to you. Help us to filter out that which is of man and that which is from you. Help us not to be offended when someone says we've not quite heard right. Help us to be very careful that we don't think too highly of ourselves. Father, help us not to, don't let pride get in the way. Father, help us not to be someone who uses a supposed prophetic gift to settle a gripe. But Father, may all things be done for your glory And may you always be the center. And may you always be glorified. Amen. Amen. Amen.